It is week 42 of the year 2020, and this is Father Roderick to the max. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Father Roderick to the max. It's been a while since I recorded an episode, and of course that all has to do with me having suffered from COVID-19 for 3 weeks. But I am very glad to let you know that I am on the mend, definitely improving every day. I'm not there yet. I still have moments of fatigue. But all in all, I have much more energy, and most of the frightening symptoms are gone. I've got my taste and my smell back, so I can talk about kitchens and food again and enjoy it. The headaches are gone. The fever is gone. The cough is almost completely gone. The only thing that remains, as I said, is fatigue from time to time. But even that is a lot better than it used to be. Like last week, there were days that I could just sleep for 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the day. I'm not that tired anymore, but I do notice that if I go out for a walk, for instance, or just to, like today, I went to get some groceries by bike. I still feel that my body has taken a hit from COVID-19, and it will probably take a while to rebuild my my stamina. And of course, I'm also a little bit, I'm not sure what the virus has done to my lungs and to my heart, because I didn't get any exams. They basically told me that my symptoms were not bad enough to go to the hospital or to do further examination. And of course, there are lots of people that are in a worse situation than I am that need to get the care. So, but there is always a possibility that the virus has some lingering effects on my heart, on, you know, various organs. So I'll just have to kind of figure it out as I go. And it makes it even more important to listen to my body and to see and readjust every time that I go outside, see what I can do, and sometimes just step back a little bit, slow down. It's very important for me. It's a good lesson for me as well to take it easy. I'm usually working very hard. I've always done that, always trying to do too much. And now I know that if I would do that, it could be potentially dangerous. So I'm trying to be patient with myself and allowing myself, giving myself permission to just read a book or play a video game, sleep in, stuff like that. And, you know, that's actually quite all right. It feels good. So thank you so much for being a patron. I appreciate it. Let's jump into the kitchen. The thing that scared me the most of this whole COVID thing was losing my smell and my taste. I've already shared, I think, on the walk and in my weekly podcast, how weird it is to not being able to smell something. And if you lose your smell, basically you don't taste anything anymore. So there were a couple of days, and fortunately for me, it was less than a week. But there were moments that I will never forget where I'm eating something that my brain tells me how it tastes, how it should taste. And the only thing you have is how it feels in your mouth, but there is no taste. There is nothing, not even cardboard. Cardboard has more taste. It's just a spongy substance with devoid of flavor. It's so weird. And I've also noticed that when the smell came back, it took a while for the taste to rebalance itself. So some stuff would still have a weird taste, like coffee. Coffee would, it's different. I don't know how to describe it. It's not as good as it used to be. And I'm still wondering if it's completely back to normal yet. I think I need to go to Italy to test that out. Just kidding. But honestly, there are a number of things. Like, there is this type of lemonade that I like to drink. Like, I don't drink soda, but I do drink kind of like very simple orange lemonade, the stuff kids drink. And there's this specific brand that I always buy, and you just add a little bit of syrup and then water, and I put that in the fridge. And it always had a certain flavor that I really liked, and now it's different. It's not bad, but it's different from what I remember. It's sweeter in a certain way, but also has less depth. I don't know what that is, but the only thing that I can come up with is that since my losing your smell and your taste, it's something that happens in the brain, right? So the brain gets confused by the virus, and then it tries to reboot. And I think in my case, it successfully rebooted, but it's almost as if there are still some drivers missing, and there is still, in some cases, something weird going on. I don't trust my own sense of taste and smell yet. Not completely. However, I do love the fact that I can enjoy food again. And so I've been cooking because, hey, I'm still sick at home. So I have more time than normal. And I've been just trying out various recipes. And some of the stuff that I cooked tastes really just like old times, and other stuff, not so sure. So I'm really using cooking to challenge my taste buds and my nose, and hopefully trigger, you know, a comeback of the senses. So I prepared yesterday this risotto with chanterelles, these beautiful golden orangey mushrooms that I normally never buy because they're so expensive. They're hand-picked, and they have a bit of a peppery flavor. And the more you cook them, the better it gets. So this is the type of mushroom. It's usually quite expensive, but the more you focus on the taste of the mushrooms, the better it is. So I don't want to mix it up too much with other ingredients. So I'm thinking, you know what? A nice mushroom risotto. That is always a hit. It always works. So the risotto itself, very simple. Fortunately, I still had risotto rice. You put that in a pan with some extra virgin olive oil until you kind of glaze it up and shake it a little bit in a pan. And then when it gets a little bit semi-transparent, you start to add stock. In this case, I just used chicken stock. Nothing special, nothing. I didn't make it myself. I just used one of those dried cubes of chicken stock, added some water. And then you just have to take your time. So what I normally do is I just, the rice is, of course, in a pan. I add some of that chicken stock. You wait until the rice has absorbed the stock, and then you add some more, and I put it on a medium fire. It takes about half an hour, I think, to absorb everything, and then you get just the right consistency. I don't want it too much al dente. I've been in Rome, and sometimes the risotto was almost crunchy, which just feels undercooked. But you don't want it to be completely mushy, baby food-like either. So I've just noticed that if I make risotto for 2 days and I use about a liter, I think, of chicken stock, that just gives me the right... Is it a liter or is it less? Maybe it's half of that. Now I'm getting confused. Probably 750 milligrams. But anyway, it never fails. So I've never understood all the ranting and raving on shows like Hell's Kitchen about risotto and being it's the hardest dish, and how can you mess up that risotto? It's no big deal. You just have to take your time. And then towards in the final phase, just before I add the last amount of chicken stock, that's where I chop up the mushrooms and you add it to the risotto so that it has a bit of time to melt in a certain way. The flavors release after a couple of minutes. Having that olive oil in there also helps strengthen the flavor of the chanterelles. And then I also added some fresh parsley. That's the only thing that still grows. I've put I always have herbs in the sunroom during the summertime. But then when it gets colder outside, after a while, I just don't want all the spiders in there and other little flies and stuff. So usually after a while, I just put them outside of in the garden on the stairs towards the sunroom. And usually that's the end for the basil. It just doesn't survive the cold. And then I had some Chinese onions, which also were spring onions. They also died. But the parsley is doing fantastic. I'm not even watering the pot anymore. It's just using the rainwater, but it just looked great. So I add that, chop it up, add that to the risotto, cook it for 1 or 2 minutes. You don't want it to become very mushy, but it also needs heat to release its flavors. And then add a whole bunch of fresh pepper and some Parmesan cheese. It was delicious. It was really, really good and very, very simple to make. All right, let's move to the next topic. I want to talk about video games because I've discovered such a cool game.
The humanoid must not escape.
Genshin Impact is the game that I want to talk about. It's an RPG. I think it's Chinese. And it is very heavily influenced by the visual style of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which was the system seller for the Nintendo Switch. A lot of the of Genshin Impact has the same color palette, the same style. It is an amazingly good looking game. Where it's heavily influenced by anime, the anime style. So the characters that you play are anime characters. Always feel a bit ambivalent about it because it's always a bit cliche and over the top. And in this particular style, the men look like women. They all have like long blonde hair and they're very feminine. I never get that. It's sometimes also these Korean boy bands. It's like, are there like regular men in there somewhere, or it's always a little bit too everything is so feminine. So, excuse me, I'm talking a little bit too much. I've lost the habit of talking into a microphone. But despite that, it is still looking really good. And it's amazing how they use some kind of cel shading technique, I think. So it looks as if you're watching an anime series instead of a video game. And it's really, really well done. The thing that is most soothing about this game and the reason that I play it so much is it's very relaxed. It does have some challenging battles. But so it's a real game. It's not. I think I've mentioned another game that I played a lot. It's called Dark. Black Desert, which is also a stunning game, beautiful. But there's not much to it. The battles are always too easy. So it's a very big grind. In Genshin Impact, it is the gameplay is actually enjoyable, and you have to make some strategic choices. So the story, in short, is you're part of a twin, from another planet. You end up, I think, on Genshin. I think that's the name of the planet. I'm not sure. And you're stuck because there is this goddess that prevents you from traveling, from continuing your adventure. And then one of the twins is captured. And you have to choose whether it's your sister that gets captured or the brother, and you play the sister. So you can either play a female or a male. It doesn't really make any difference in gameplay. And then you encounter some other people, and you can add three of these to your roster of heroes. So in total, you've got four characters. And when you're doing battle, you can switch back and forth between these characters. You can level them. You can also outspec them with different abilities. So, for instance, there's this one girl who is very good at with a bow and arrow, which is sometimes in battle a huge advantage. But then you've got a knight who is just got a sword, and sometimes you just need brute power. And the gameplay is very much about alternating between these different characters. To be able to vanquish certain enemies. It's also a game that has a limited multiplayer aspect. So if you've got, I think you can form a team of three other players, so four in total, and then you can you can play through some dungeons that are not, at least I don't think I can do them solo. So. But I haven't found any other people that are playing this game yet, so maybe that's something I should look around for on the Discord server. Sometimes my brain just doesn't want to deliver, because I think this could be really fun to play, especially if you have some kind of voice chat. And it's a massive game. It does have an end game where they're trying to, of course, make some money because this is free to play. So at one point, but this could be after hundreds of hours of play, in order to harvest certain rewards, you need to pay with in-game currency. But that's very limited, and so it replenishes over time, but very, very slowly. So if you want to make any progress over time, and you want to speed that up, then you have to start paying real money. This game was such a success, especially in Japan and in Korea and in China, that they made back the entire development budget within 2 weeks. It's insane. I'm more of a free player, so if I get to the end game and I have to just wait for days in order to make progress, then I'll probably just stop playing the game for a while. I did that with Black Desert as well. But in the meantime, I'm still having a lot of fun with this. And the music is super relaxing and very cool. I'm just going to play a little bit of the launch trailer for the PlayStation 4 because this is available in many different formats. I'm not sure if it's available yet for the Xbox, but it's available for free on PC, I think on PlayStation 4, I think there's even a Nintendo Switch version coming. That would be awesome. So this is the PlayStation 4 trailer.
Windborn Outlander. As you set off on your journey once again, you must remember that the journey itself has meaning.
Defeating that monster might remove this strange wind current seal thingy around the Statue of the Seven.
This is real good music for a game. And this is what you hear in-game. Lots of different environments. It's beautifully rendered.
Venti, the bard that sits around doing nothing all day?
He was once such a gentle child, now so full of rage and suffering.
It's this dragon that is menacing the world.
I will not stand for such impertinence.
To ashes!
I, Fischl, Prinzessin Dirfa Ertelang.
Eat this!
tell you the story with a performance. Will you believe me?
Time for takeoff!
Sacred name, Fortune Preserver.
One step closer. Maybe soon I shall finally uncover the truth of this world.
I swear by my sword!
With sword comes shadow.
Blade into light!
Verdict is...
The trailer shows me actually a lot of the world that I've not been to yet. So that makes me think that I'm just in the, probably in the beginner's area. But it's already very, very cool. Genshin Impact. Just Google it. You'll find it. It is, I think, definitely worth a try. I love that game. And if you're playing it as well, let me know. Because I'm still looking to team up with some people. And with that, it is time for... Do I have a jingle? I don't think so. I'm just going to press this one. Marvel! Marvel, of course, is giving us so many movies and series. I'm looking forward to WandaVision that will still be... launching this year, thankfully, because they've been postponing so many series and movies lately because of the corona crisis. But it's good to see that we will get at least one live action series on Disney Plus dedicated to to Wanda and to Vision. It looks very intriguing, but that's not the only thing that Marvel is launching online. There's going to be a Hulu series, which is kind of surprising because Hulu is owned by Disney, I think, right now, but it's still a separate entity. So they're going to launch a Marvel series on Hulu dedicated to one of the weirdest Marvel enemies and bad guys that I've ever come across with. I know this character only from this Marvel RPG that I was playing a couple of years ago, and unfortunately is no longer available. But that was still... in one of these end games, you would encounter this enemy who is basically a huge kind of purple face with tiny little arms and tiny little legs. It just looked something out of one of a bad episode of Doctor Who. Crazy. And then the face itself is also kind of like weird looking, almost a bit like just a regular guy, but then a huge face. It's such a strange concept. It's how can you make that work? Now I've read a couple of these comic books on Marvel Ultimate, because I just wanted to find out how that character ever got anywhere, because it's such an outrageous concept. And yet, in the comic books, he's taken quite seriously. He's just an evil guy. But I was so stunned by this announcement that there would be a series completely centered on MODOK. That's his name. It's a abbreviation of something else. I don't know what it is. MODOK. Let me just look that up. MODOK. It's going to be stop motion. Oh, it's an acronym for Mental Mobile Mechanized Organism Designed Only for Killing. Whatever. If you look it up, it's like there's no way you can do a series about that dude. It is just too strange. But that's what we all thought of Thor as well. How can you ever make Thor believable in the Marvel Universe? And yet they pulled it off. Well, with MODOK, they actually went full force into the weirdness of this by enlisting a company that is very good at just wild, strange humor that works because it's so outlandish. And that is the Robot Chicken people. Now, I know Robot Chicken mostly from their Star Wars parodies, which are amazing. But apparently, they've now been enlisted to create this series based on MODOK. And there's even an official teaser trailer already.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Everything Always. My name's Michael Roman. Now on this.
Okay, this is just. I thought it was going to be the teaser or the trailer, but it's a video with lots of talking about it.
Water cooler gossip.
No, this is just a guy talking over the trailer. That's not what I want. Maybe this one. Ugh. Marvel Entertainment. MODOK TV show cast revealed. Blah, 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 blah. Just show me a trailer. Now, of course, I've seen this somewhere. Oh, this is another one of those talking head videos. What is it with YouTube? I can never find the original stuff.
Stan always said that the...
Okay, that's about Marvel. Let me see. Do they have that somewhere? Search MODOK. MODOK threat trailer. But that's not this stop motion thing. Where have I seen this? Ah, frustrating. MODOK. It was such a great video. MODOK Marvel. I'm going to give it one more try. Sneak peek. Could this be it?
All right. We need big ideas to save AIM. That's guys, it. My brain trust. What have you got for me?
Blood car.
What's that?
It's a car that runs on blood.
Terrible. What else?
Oh, we watch Wolf of Wall Street and do what the wolf does.
You said stop pitching that. What else?
Your toilet's broken.
I like it. I don't understand it, but I like it.
I still don't have a bar mitzvah suit. I'm looking for the right fabric. Do you mind if I have a feel real quick?
Not at all, son of MODOK.
Lou, stop fondling my brain trust.
Dad, one of your dumbasses spilled acid all over my boyfriend.
Come on, guys. Acid is expensive.
MODOK, can I talk to you for a minute? I was listening at the door, and just my two cents, but maybe it's time to let AIM go.
Now,
so MODOK just has a family. He's the supervillain during the day, but then he comes home, and he's got a son who's just a regular human being, whereas his daughter looks like him. It's just a big head in an encasing with the tiny legs and tiny arms, and then his wife is also just a regular human being.
Ever. MODOK doesn't give up. Flailerg isn't even in my vocabulary.
Were you trying to say failure?
Yes. I literally deleted it from my memory banks.
You don't have to worry. I'm making enough to support us. Maybe it's my turn to take the reins.
AIM is MODOK. MODOK is AIM. Without it, I wouldn't even know who I am.
Wow. If that's true, I think we need to have a very serious conversation about what that means for us.
Oh, I'll get it. Well, I hope it's the cool mailman.
Okay, that wasn't very funny. There are a number of other sneak peeks that are posted, like this one. The stuff that I saw was really funny.
8 million on the hover bikes, 20 million on the laser cannon, 30 million for the airships, and $49.95 for the...
Anyway, if you like Robot Chicken, this is basically Marvel done by the Robot Chicken people. And I think it's going to be hilarious. So I saw a making of where they were talking also with the voice actors that they hired to produce this and the writers. And it was just such a entertaining peek behind the scenes on how they developed something that is... You think that they can't pull it off, but they did. And I think it really jives. It matches the humor of the Robot Chicken franchise. So I think it's going to be a hit. I'm very excited about it. And I never thought that we would ever see a Marvel series about MODOK. But here we go. Let's see. Video games. I've been playing Animal Crossing a little bit while I was sick. I did get a little bit of a Animal Crossing overload at one point. It was like once I'd built like half of my island with terraforming, I was getting a little bit burned out. And I was like, what's the point of continuing this? But now they have this October phase where you can grow your own pumpkins and then create all sorts of Halloween-themed decorations. That's a lot of fun. And I've also decided to declutter inside the game. That's one of the things that bothered me, was that I was just gathering a lot of stuff, clothes and furniture, but I didn't have a place to put it, so I was just piling up in my archives or in my storage, and it didn't really have a purpose. So what I'm doing now is I'm just selling everything I don't really like, and I'm focusing on the little things that I want to create. So I want to have this little Halloween themed garden around my house, and I'm just going to grow some pumpkins to make that happen. So I've noticed that just playing the game in small amounts is actually enjoyable. But as soon as I have the feeling that it becomes a chore, it's like any other game. Like a lot of these games that we play on our phones are similar. At one point you get addicted, and then you feel like you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just going through the motions every day. Why am I doing this? It's supposed to be a game, not work. That's usually when I stop playing a mobile game. And that also happened to me a little bit with Animal Crossing. But I guess it's also kind of the problem with it. Any game, after a while, just gets... You've done everything there is to do, and then why would you continue playing? It's had its time. So we'll see. I like that they keep adding seasonal stuff to Animal Crossing, and the seasons are changing, so the trees on my island are turning brown now that fall is here, and it's a very gradual thing. Also, insects and fish and stuff are changing. But it's not enough to keep me hooked the way I was hooked when I first got that game. But it's still, sometimes it's just a fun little nothing when I don't have much energy to read or to watch a movie. I'll just play a little bit Animal Crossing. You know what? I feel I need to start wrapping things up. I'm getting tired. I've been recording two shows today. Maybe that's a little bit too much, especially that I'm still recovering. I have mass at 7 o'clock, so I still have about an hour to rest a little bit. And then hopefully I'll still have a bit of energy left for international mass. Thank you so much for listening. Hope to be back soon, and hopefully with more good news about my recovery. This is the first week, I think, that I've produced all my shows. So that's a good sign. I'm happy about it. Let's keep this up. Stay tuned, keep following me, and thanks again for your support.